Skype of Cthulhu presents A Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Masks of Nyarlathotep, by Larry DiTilio and Lynn Willis.
If we're tracing the Carlisle Expedition, that gets mentioned a few episodes earlier, left and right.
Yep.
And yes. But there is something you were saying, I'm sorry, Gary, about that Jackson that was found in Jackson Elias's.
Yes, in Jackson Elias's room. He has the card of the Penhew Foundation with Edward Gavigan, director. Handout 12.
Handout 12, okay.
Ten, nine, eight. 24, hike. Gavigan, there we go.
Morning.
Morning!
Hello.
Hey, Max.
So, Penhew was part of the Carlisle Foundation, is that right?
No, Penhew was one of the members of the...
of the expedition.
Expedition.
That's what Penhew. I had meant to say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Penhew himself.
There it is. And an address, Edward Gavigan. I feel like we've got a breakdown of that expedition typed up somewhere.
I don't know if you ever did, because the person...
I thought so also. I certainly have the people.
You didn't go into details of the people who were part of it. Because the person you could have asked was the sister.
Sister, yeah. I thought
but you never did.
Yeah, we just told just someone just stole some books from her and called her a name, right?
Basically.
Never bothered to actually talk to her.
Yes.
There we go, expedition members, yeah, on page 10.
Here we have a timeline recap on page something. Why do I not have page numbers?
I don't have page numbers.
I'm a little jealous.
Well, page 10 got a breakdown of the people we've got. We got Roger Carlisle as a funder. Dr. Robert Ellington Houston was a psychiatrist. Then Dr. Aubrey Penhew also is a funder. That's all we know about him or have listed as him. Miss Hypatia Celestine Masters was a photographer, Carlisle's girlfriend, probably. And then... Jack Brass Brady, some soldier of fortune type, friend of Carlisle.
And he's the one that got seen again, right, oh, there it is, yep, in Hong Kong.
Right.
And then I think, yeah, right after all those handouts that are right after that list of people, we have the expedition timeline.
Okay.
So we have trying to turn that into a heading also, because the expedition member shows up on our outline view. Now the expedition timeline does also.
Okay, yep. Great. There it is, yep.
Do we know who Lieutenant Mark Selkirk is, or where he is?
Who?
Because I'm wondering now why we think, or why anybody thinks, that the members of the expedition are actually dead.
Oh, because they were...
Wasn't there a story about them being killed by a local tribe, and they were brought to justice?
Yeah, there was all these news articles about them being massacred, and supposedly Erica Carlisle went to Nairobi to see the place.
But the guy who found the remains didn't find any white people. And like the expedition is the important people, if you will, are all white people. So why do we think they're all dead?
Because it's assumed they're all dead.
Okay. Well, that's why I was wondering. That's kind of where getting to is, do we know who or where this Lieutenant Mark Selkirk is? Because if he's the one that brought back the report of, I found all these dead people. No white people, but everything else is in tatters, so, probably they're dead as well. He might be.
Right.
Well, Erica went down there. Erica Carlisle herself went down there.
But she's not going to be traceing through the jungle.
Jamie met her, but if Jamie had, I don't think he would find her very reliable in her expeditionary or investigatory capacity.
Right. Who is Selkirk? I'm missing.
I'm totally lost with that name.
At the very top of page 10, Lieutenant Mark Selkirk is the one who found the remains of the Carlisle expedition.
Oh, that's the guy in Africa, right?
Yes, he's in Nairobi.
Okay.
He's the local guy.
So he and whoever this Nails Nelson is, do we even know who this Nails Nelson is? It just kind of throws his name out there. Doesn't reference it. Well, clearly this is why we should have split the party, so some of us can go to Nairobi and talk to these guys.
Nails Nelson. Okay. In the notes of Jackson Carlisle, Jackson Elias, Nails Nelson, Jackson Elias had an interview with Lieutenant Monk, Mark Selkirk, who was the leader of the men who found the remains of the expedition. It's actually in the annotated the notes above in the handout. And importantly, Selkirk was that the bodies were remarkably undecayed for the length of time which they were in the open, almost as if decay wouldn't come near the place. And also they weren't ripped apart by animals.
And Nelson is the guy who said he saw Jack Brady in Hong Kong.
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
He met, Jackson Elias met with Nels Nelson in Nairobi, and he said he saw Brady in Hong Kong.
Yep.
Okay, do we know if we're going to have a Jonathan?
It would appear not. I haven't heard
anything. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get
both Jonathan
started.
And Gail are offline. So.
Yeah. Let's get started.
We don't need the Englishman to go to England.
He would only correct us.
That's true.
So.
Silly facts.
You arrive in Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
No. No.
So, how do we go to this? How do we get to Scotland now?
Scotland?
Well, yeah, you guys said this Barrington fellow was in Scotland.
Ah, yes, yes. Scotland's in downtown London.
Scotland Yard, sweetie, Scotland Yard.
It's not in Scotland?
It's where the Bobbies hang out.
I think we need to go check out this Penhue Foundation.
Well, I know how to deal with me some policemen. I can go deal with the policemen. Some of you want to go talk to them fancy people at your foundation.
Well, do we want to go after the Carlisle expedition or after what Jackson was looking into? You know, do we trail Jackson's investigations or do we trail the Carlisle expedition itself?
Well, I think they're probably the same.
So, where do you want to stay, first of all?
Well, we should get a room somewhere.
Sure, I'll show you.
The flophouse closest to the docks.
Well, let's pretend that we asked the folks on board where we should stay.
It says, well, it depends on how much you're willing to pay.
Well, it's all covered.
I'll name you a few hotels. What area are you looking at?
Somewhere convenient, downtown.
Yeah, stay somewhere near Oxford Street or Regent Street. Piccadilly.
I presume that if she were actually speaking to us, we would end up just staying wherever Miss Morgan tells us to.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not sure our opinion
we
really
won't be happy.
She picks a really expensive hotel and gets a suite of rooms.
Very good.
Okay, so you go to the hotel. You are all checked in. Most of you aren't used to this sort of luxury.
But you know what? We'll figure it out.
We'll make do.
We just had a week aboard the boat getting used to it. And now we'll see what we can do in a hotel.
You've suffered through it with the hotel as well.
Yeah.
So, where would you like to go? What would you like to do first?
Learn how to drink champagne.
Maybe the... If we're trailing Jackson, maybe we should go by Mahoney, his... Sorry, I got the wrong window open now. His editor, who could tell us exactly what he was working on over here. If we're trailing the Carlisle expedition, then we should probably go to Pinhu, right?
Now, you guys, those of you who are friends of Jackson Elias, know he's Jonah. Jackson Elias has talked about Mahoney before. They are old friends.
Okay, that's good to know. Listen, Miles. Yeah. Now that we're here, why don't we find out a little bit more about that Thank You Foundation? We don't know anything about it, do we?
Not a piece.
Hmm. Oh, maybe you and Jim can go there, and there's got to be a library here, just like back in New York.
Seems likely that London has a library, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Just can start. Just a thought, right?
We can start. We should go check out the Penhew Foundation, the library first?
Yeah.
What are you boys going to the library for?
See what kind of background we can get on the Penhew before we drop in. Might help us make a better approach.
Yeah, right. See what this Penhew Foundation is all about.
Yeah, I ain't gonna be so much use in the library. That was Jimmy's thing. He was good in them libraries.
He was.
I ain't as edumacated as Jimmy was.
He was a real devil in the library.
Definitely had a way with those librarians.
Yeah. Alright, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, I'm happy to head along with Mr. Archer, with Miles.
So,
sorry, I'm a bit lost now. Who's going with? Are you all going to the library, or some of you going to the library?
At least Miles and Thurgood are going to the library.
And the others?
No, Tito is staying at the hotel.
I want to go talk to the editor guy, find out exactly what Jackson was into.
Mahoney?
But who's here that actually knows Jackson? Because I know Jamie doesn't, and I don't.
I do. Miles does.
Miles does. Did
Tito does.
Tito does, yeah.
Who does?
So maybe he would be willing to get off his lazy ass and come to you.
Tito, what do you say?
I mean, who can say no to those dulcet tones?
Exactly.
Bring that pack of gum by the dresser.
I haven't heard him say no. I think you're in.
All right.
Yep. I mean, it would just be rude to say no.
Exactly. He might be surprised when he gets there, but that's okay.
Okay.
That's how it should be.
Okay, so Tito and Betsy. Okay, cool. First, we'll do the library.
Well, where's Jamie going, Jim?
Yeah, where's the trouble? Where's the trouble going to start?
Well, I notice nobody has invited Jamie to join.
Well, he just said he wasn't going to the library.
Yeah, I mean, you made it pretty Jamie clear you weren't coming with us.
Yeah, so Jamie will just wander around town looking for trouble. Maybe go looking for this Scotland Yard place and see if he can talk to the police. Just to really
screw things up
ahead of anyone else getting there.
Okay, so you're going to look for Scotland Yard. Walk out. So I'm going, where's Scotland Yard? I point you in the direction.
Well, I think he's just going to go out and punch somebody and wait to see if he ends up with police.
Right, well, there's quicker ways than asking someone for directions.
Yeah, that's an option, right? That's an option.
Exactly. Talented problem solver.
We'll start with Thurgood and Miles. Okay, you two don't have any trouble finding any information about the Pentew Foundation. The Pentew Foundation is an old organization which was started by the Pentew family. It's all about the Egyptology and funding and sponsoring expeditions to Egypt. They're well known. They've currently got at least one group in Egypt.
Can we see what they're doing?
Now you're gonna make me turn to Egypt session.
Yep.
Okay, the it's just right. Cairo. The Clive Expedition.
Clive?
Clive, yes. Which is financed by the Pentew Foundation. They're currently excavating at Memphis.
And do they have a... I guess I would look to see if they have a good reputation amongst within London, you know, if they also promote anything local, or if they're, you know, if they put on Egypt shows, or I don't know if they have anything kind of I would sort of naturally look for under the carpet stuff potentially.
Just see if they have any like major finds that they've had in the past.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Quite a lot. And they do put on shows, and they have a standing stock. You can go in, and there's actually an upstairs section where you can go to view some stuff from Egyptology, but a lot of people go there to research things. They are very well known. And Sir Audrey... And Hugh was very, very famous for it in London.
Right. So we probably want an inn of some sort. I guess we have Miss Morgan potentially could pretend to be a potential donor or something.
Yeah.
And Blurduck.
Well, you do know Jackson Elias. Well, must have spoken to him or seen him. He has his card.
Right.
Okay, while you two are thinking about that, we'll flip to Betsy and Tito. So.
Hey, Betsy, we're here.
What a building!
Okay, it's a slightly run-down building. It has up the front, it has a sign on it called The Scoop. And from what you've picked up so far, is it seems to be a weekly tabloid. What you've seen, I take it you've picked up a copy to have a look at it. Story about gory murder, sex scandals, and weird happenings. It's in Fleet Street, not far from Ludgate Circus.
Okay.
So, what do we have when we entered? Do we have a receptionist at the front or waiting room?
There's a waiting room, but there's no receptionist there. And comes out and says, "Hi, what can I do for you?" Come tell a story.
Hello there. We're looking for Mr. Mahoney. He's the editor here at the Scoop.
Editor, writer, and publisher. That's me, my name.
Oh.
And who may you be? Hello. He seems to be in his 40s.
I approach him and shake his hand.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we are friends of Jackson Elias, and we're here in London to have a quick chat with you. And I don't know if we can go to a more private place here, if you have a small office or something where we can talk.
My office is right here. Ah, Jackson Elias, my good friend Jackson Elias. Yes, how is he doing? I saw him not that long ago.
Yeah,
back to York.
It's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, but let's go in and let's have a sit.
He motions you into the office, where he pulls the seat out for the lady and pulls out a bottle of Irish whiskey and says, "Would you like a drop?"
What an element!
Of course.
He gives you both a glass of whiskey.
Make it a double, sweetheart. Don't be shy.
She gives you a double.
Well, we're Americans, as you can see. And we got bad news. Like, there was an incident with Jackson, and he was killed. And that's one of the members right here.
I'm very sad.
Yes. My understanding is that you were friends, so
Yes, we were good friends. He used to come in here and we'd have many a chat. He would browse through. Actually, he was recently here. He was browsing through my files.
Oh, really? Well, that's one of the reasons. That's the only reason we are here today. He was into something, right? That's why he was killed. I wonder if you can allow us some time to go and browse those files that he was working on, or that he requested the last time he was here. Maybe that's
I can really shorten that for you, because he was only really interested in three stories last time he was here.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, just give me a few minutes.
Okay. I look at Betsy and I wink at her.
And he goes off and he comes back and he goes... They're unsigned, sorry. I probably wrote them. They probably came from the wire or a stringer copy. But here we go. Here's the first one. Just want to make sure I don't... Okay, there's the first one. Okay, it's about a surreal artist. You can read it. Next one. Okay, and the last one.
Do you want to read it aloud, Steve?
Okay, yeah, sorry, sure.
Yeah, if you guys want to read them.
The first story. Shocking canvases bring recognition. Local artists' monster scenes mock surrealists. Now collectors can buy savage scenes which rival or surpass the worst nightmares of the Great War, but which are far more exotic than that grim business. London artist Mr. Miles Shipley's work is being sought out by collectors who have paid up to £300 for individual paintings. This correspondent has seen dozens of works of artist Miles Shipley and finds them repulsive beyond belief. Maidens ravished, monsters ripping out a man's innards, shadowy grotesque landscapes, and faces grimacing in horror represent only a fraction of Mr. Shipley's work. With all the repellent content, these works are conceived and executed with uncanny verisimilitude, almost as though the artist had worked from photographs of alien places, surely never on this earth. The artist reportedly is in contact with other dimensions in which powerful beings exist, and says he merely renders visible his visions. Mr. Shipley is a working-class man without formal artistic training who has nonetheless made good where thousands have failed. Art critics say that Shipley provides an English answer to the continental artistic movement of surrealism, whose controversial practitioners have still to convince John Bull that the way in which a thing is painted is more important than what is painted. A tip of the hat to Miles Shipley for exposing those frauds. The scoop. Article number 2. Police baffled by monstrous murders. Inhuman killer shot, but still alive. Valley of the Derwent residents. Shocked several months ago by two murders and a serious assault on a third victim, are still without explanation or perpetrator of the dreadful acts. At the time, Lesser Edal, farmer George Osgood and resident Miss Lydia Perkins were torn to shreds in apparently unrelated murders on consecutive nights. On the third night, Will Wright, Harold Short, was nearly killed, but managed to drive off a grisly creature which he swore to be manlike but not human. Constable Tumwell, also of Lesser Edale, believes that he shot and killed the beast on the night Mr. Short was attacked. Other residents of the region have claimed to have seen the thing since. Reportedly, Lesser Edale endures to this hour the bizarre wailings of the beast on nights near the full moon. Readers of The Scoop are reminded that their esteemed journal's long-standing danger protocols and are advised that the picturesque clouds... I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Surrounding the peak have been declared by The Scoop as a zone of high danger. Residents of the Midlands are advised to remain indoors at night and report all mysterious happenings to the police and The Scoop. All right, last article. Slaughter continues. Scoop offers reward. An unidentified foreigner was found floating in the Thames this Tuesday, the 24th victim of a series of bizarre slayings. Though Inspector James Barrington of the Yard had no immediate comment, sources exclusive to The Scoop agreed that the victim had been beaten severely by one or more assailants and then stabbed through the heart. This series of murders has continued over the space of 3 years to the bafflement of our faithful metropolitans. Must we hope that Mr. Sherlock Holmes, though reported by Mr. Doyle to be in retirement, will one last time rise to the defense of our majestic isles? Readers of The Scoop are reminded that this esteemed journal has a standing reward for information leading to the apprehension and conviction of the perpetrators, in an amount now risen to £24 with the last death. Be on guard. Everybody still there?
Yeah. Thanks. Okay.
Sure.
So, when was the last time that he was here, you said? Do you remember the date?
This way, let me get back. Okay, so... I do have a date. Here we go. So, it was here. We left London about the 17th of December last 1924. I'm heading for New York.
Does it align with the dates we have? I mean, yes. He left from here to New York?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, he arrived like the 20-something, right, to New York?
He got delayed. He was due to arrive on the 13th.
Okay, so we know that he left London and came to New York, and that's when... Everyone was supposed to meet him in the hotel room directly. Yeah, from London. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Well, this is quite helpful. Listen, Mr. Mahoney, if we find anything about what he was doing, we'll let you know. To give you
That'd
some
be great. Look, to give you incentive, if it's a good story, be willing to. Give you £50 for the right to publish it.
Okay. We'll think about that once we get more information for sure. But if we decide to go public with whatever we find, we're going to go through you to honor your friendship.
Thank you very much.
Betsy, do you have anything else?
No.
I have a question, but I just don't think I have anything to ask for this guy. It's questions about the articles, I guess.
Here you mention a reward. Has anyone called in to report any more information about? Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Mahoney, we won't take more of your time. I think we're more than grateful with the information that you have shared with us. And as I said, we'll be in touch with you. Run into anything, all right?
Sounds good, yeah. And if you need some help, contact, just let me know. I'll try to help out where I can.
Very good. I raise and shake his hand again.
He stands and shakes your hand and shows you out.
Charmed! Peter, what do you think about going to a museum here? Maybe if we can see. I'm interested if one of these... some of these scary paintings that Mr. Shipley there paints have some zombies and stuff in them.
Is that the museum? Wasn't there like a gallery? Let me check.
It's really zombie.
If it ain't pictures, doll, I don't really know where they go.
Yeah, made up to $300 for his painting, so probably it'll be a gallery.
Yeah.
All right. We can ask Mahoney before we leave.
I don't know. I mean, I'd say they're probably two private galleries. You know, you're talking about collectors here. Whether or not he's got one in the London gallery, he gives you an address towards it. I don't know. By what I've heard, they may not be good for public viewing.
Okay. Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe find who the collector was.
I just rewrote the story from the wire, so I don't know who the collector is. You may need to speak to Mr. Shipley.
Okay.
So Betsy, we don't know anything about this Shipley fellow. Why don't we try to find out and see if, there's nothing against this coup, but maybe there's more information, that we can find about him in other papers.
You're talking about the library?
Yes.
The library, yes. Tito? Oh, my God.
Well, Miles said there was one here as well, just like we have back in New York. And these fellows in London, at least, don't look, they may have libraries. So he said there were libraries here. I don't know much about that, but he said so. I believe Miles.
You've probably heard stories from your ancestors that there may be a library in Italy.
Oh, no. Ephraim is the cradle of civilization. So.
We'll flip to Jamie and his search for Scotland Yard. Jamie. So how do you want to do this?
He's not talking.
he's a sign language.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
That's dangerous. Real dangerous.
Yeah. So I'll just go wander the streets and see if I see any policemen.
That'll be a Bobby with his.
Right? I think I was told that's what we're looking for, is policemen, right? So
Yep. Yes. Hello. What do we have here?
Hi, Mr. Policeman. It's kind of a funny hat you got. Are you sure you're a policeman? Policeman, I don't wear funny hats like that.
I am a policeman. What can I do for you?
God, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I'm looking for a policeman. Somebody named Barrington in Scotland, I think.
Well, Scotland's way up north.
See now I think they're trying to pull the wool. They said Scotland is in the center of London.
Are you looking for New Scotland Yard?
And that Barrington would this Barrington fellow would be there.
Indeed. I don't know this Barrington, but he gives you a description of how to get to New Scotland Yard.
Oh, well, that was easy. Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. You keep on protecting the public.
Indeed. He looks a little bit suspicious at you, but you wander off. I take it following his directions?
Yes, I will follow his directions.
Yes. And you arrive at New Scotland Yard.
Well, that was easier than I expected it to be, I'll be honest.
Why would I make it hard for you to find the police station?
Why indeed?
Yes, so.
I walk in.
You walk in, there's policemen walking in there, people, and there's somebody at the reception who looks up at you and says, hey, can I help you, sir?
This is Scotland, right? That's what the sign said.
This is Scotland Yard.
I'm still not quite sure I'm understanding that, but if this you're is Scotland, then that's what?
You're American, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Ah, okay. Well, yes, this is New Scotland Yard, and how can we help you? You looking for anyone?
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking for one of your policemen, Barrington. I think his name is Jimmy Barrington, I believe.
He looks down, flips through something, and says, "Ah, you're looking for Inspector Barrington."
If you say so.
I would say, indeed. Let me check if he's in. And he picks up a phone and dials and talks it to him and says, "Indeed. Okay. If you please take a seat, Inspector Barrington will be out to grab you in a minute."
Okay, I'm just gonna pace around. I wouldn't actually sit down.
Well, I'm
sit down in the police station. That's crazy.
A man comes out. He looks to be in his early 50s. He's in a nice suit. He talks quickly to the guy at the counter, and who points to you, and he walks over and says, "I'm Inspector Barrington. I heard you were asking for me."
Jimmy Barrington. Oh, nice to meet you, sir, I guess.
Inspector Barrington. And who may you be?
I don't rightly know. I don't really know what that means, but okay. My name is Jamie. They call me, just Jamie. That'll do. I came with some friends. We came from New York City. New York City. And we looking for some fellow named Carlisle. And my friend said you would know where this Carlisle fellow is.
No, I've not heard of this Carlisle fellow.
Are you sure? Something about a what the heck? My memory is not so good sometimes. Too many times getting hit in the head, you know. Do we know what Carlisle's name was? What the Robert Carlisle? Who was
Roger Carlisle? Roger Carlisle.
Roger Carlisle. That's the name.
Heard of it in some sort of news article about some gentleman who died in Nairobi, was it? But
yeah, that's the fellow. That's the fellow.
Why are you talking to me? I believe it was all done with.
I don't rightly know. The people like you see they're rich, you know, they have all the money, so they're a little, I don't know, a little strange sometimes, but maybe they're just putting me on. But they said you could tell us where this Roger Carlisle fellow is.
Make me an idea check.
I have an idea that I have no idea what I'm talking about. That'll be an extreme success on my idea of 45, on which I rolled three.
Very good. It suddenly pops up into your head that Jackson Elias was talking to this gentleman.
And they said that another fellow who was a friend, it's all very confusing, you know, people talking friends, I don't know, but that another one of their friends had talked to you looking for this Roger Carlyle fellow. What was that boy's? Jackson Elias, that's the one.
Mr. Elias, yes, I do remember talking to him, and he motions you to a room in the back. He motions you through a corridor and says, please come. And he basically takes you to his office.
I hesitate before going further into the
station. The second time you've been in a police station and you haven't been in trouble. The first... as you walk past, there's a newsboy as well with a copy of the scoop flashing the front page headlines of Egyptian murders again. He's shouting out at the top of his lungs. And you wander through and he's got stuff on his walls talking about murders. And he says, please take a seat. Yeah.
Are there any photographs of the murders or murder scenes or
nothing like in that? View. Oh, okay. No, nothing in view.
It looks like there's been a spot of trouble. What's the murder? Murder most foul.
Indeed. Jackson Elias came and spoke to me. We had quite a long interview, actually, because he seemed to have some interest in actually the murders. And he motions to the writings on the wall and the documents.
In the what does the murders have to do with Carl? I don't understand. Why was Mr. Elias talking about some Egyptians killing each other?
Well, I don't know, but he said that Jackson Elias told me that the murders were ritual killings by something called the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh. And an Egyptian death cult. I spoke with Mr. Gavigan, Edward Gavigan of the Penji Foundation, who denied that the cult has any modern equivalent or that the method of murder was part of it.
Quick question out of character. Did we ever get a name for the cultist organization who we found at the Juju House? Or were they just, do we not know? I'm wondering if Jamie knows enough to connect that. Oh yeah, you know, yeah, we met them in in the basement.
I thought it was a bloody tongue, or there was another.
Or were they something called something else?
That was a bloody tongue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More cultists. Yeah, we just ran into some tongue. Wasn't no pharaoh. Something about a tongue cult. In New York, in Harlem, they killed my cousin.
That's not good at all. Hopefully, the police have dealt with them.
The police dealt. We can say that. Yeah, the police dealt with them. They were dealt with. Yes.
Indeed. So, yeah. And you are here to...
Well, as I said, we're looking for this Carlisle fellow.
Well,
I don't know what this has to do with no Egyptian.
You said you're here with friends.
Yes. There's Mr. Archer and Mr. Thurgood and Miss Morgan. She's definitely the hoity-toity type. And there's Tito.
Any chance you could bring them around?
I like Betsy.
Any chance you could bring them around so I could have a talk with you as a group? Actually, no. Where are you staying?
I'm not sure I want to answer that. I'll give him the name of the hotel.
Okay, indeed. How about I come around about 6 o'clock, and we can have a talk about this.
Is he like being, you know, the threatening police officer? How about I come around, you know, or is he like, you know, being kind of genuine? I want to discuss this.
Give me a psychology.
See, Jamie actually has some psychology. Jamie actually has a lot of psychology.
Oh, wow.
It's important for... oh, look at that. Take that skill. Another extreme success.
Yeah, well, he seems to be a little bit concerned, but open. He's not in any way being threatening.
Okay. Yeah, in that case. I'll make sure that everyone is there.
Indeed, thank you very much. And look, if you do stumble across anything, please, and he pulls out a card and gives you a card with a number, give me a call.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Much obliged for your time.
And he nods and shows you out.
I will try to find my way back to the hotel and wait for the others. And tell them that the policeman has no idea where Roger Carlisle is, but he's going to come at 6 to talk to them. So maybe they'll know better questions to ask, too.
Awesome.
Give me 2 seconds. I think I... Okay, no, that's all right. That's not a problem. Okay, no, I was just confused for a minute, but all good. Okay, so now...
I think you're confused.
So, Thurgood and Miles.
Yeah.
You head out of the library.
I think so. Shoot, there was one other thing that popped into my head here, but I lost it. So yeah, you all sat there, Jim?
Yeah. I think we're good.
So we want to go talk to the... See what the Penhew Foundation has, or head back to the hotel.
Yeah, maybe go inquire at the Penhew Foundation and see what they're about.
All right. Air quotes, tourists.
Sure. Did you pick up any anything to ask about? I guess we'll just go see what they do for tourists. Sounds good?
Yeah. Just going to look through my notebook and see if there's anything to ask them about.
Okay, so you head to the Pinchu Foundation. Okay, so the building is well designed and sturdy. As you walk up to the entry, there is one man standing at the gate, at the entryway. Make me spot hidden rolls.
No.
Oh, that's an odd one. Extreme Ooh. Success.
Look at you spot stuff.
You notice some men who seem to be suspiciously lounging about near the entryway of the Pinchu Foundation.
And they look like guards.
Two or three, some English and Arabic. I would say that Arabic with your with your O1. They seem to be hanging around. You can see that then one guy basically heads back to the side of the foundation where you see can just glance down a truck, which seems to be backed in. Looks like they're unloading. They must be unloading something at the back of the from the back of the truck, or loading onto the truck.
Sorry, the men who were lounging about are connected to this truck that's being unloaded, or they are watching the truck that's being unloaded?
They seem to be connected.
Okay.
Okay. So, are you heading into the foundation?
If the guy at the front door doesn't make trouble, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You walk into the foundation, you walk in through the front doors, and you come straight out to a desk. And there's a gentleman at the desk who is fairly he's a guard as well, you can tell that. Sits at the desk and says, may I help you, gentlemen?
Yes, we were just in from the United States, America, wondering, just looking around, actually following up on a little trail of one of the expeditions that you helped lead, or your foundation helped lead.
Indeed. We fund a number of expeditions.
Well, this one had a Sir Dr. Aubrey Penhew on it.
Until his passing, he was on a few. Are you talking about his last one?
Yes. The Carlisle expedition.
Yes. Please take a seat. I'll get Mr. Gavigan.
Thank you.
Okay, so he motions for you to section to in a room up the front near the stairs, and where there's people, you can see people basically sitting and reading books and studying books, as well as seats for waiting.
So then, is it just us in there while he goes to get Gavigan?
There's a couple of, or he doesn't, he calls. He uses a phone. He doesn't leave the desk at all. There's a couple of other people in that room that you've been rushing it to.
So I'll write down on my little, one of the pages in my journal, like, talk about the cults, ? And Elias, ? And show it to Miles.
I will nod.
Gentleman walks out in an exquisite suit. Very, very high end. So he walks up and he looks in your direction and says, may I help you?
Yes. Mr. Gavigan, I presume.
Indeed.
Yes, Jim Thurgood. And,
Miles Archer, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you both. How can I help you?
Well, we're hot on the trail, or I guess recently hot on the trail, of just looking into what happened with the Carlisle expedition, following up for a good acquaintance who has until recently been looking into it as well. Is there somewhere more private we could talk?
Please come through.
Look around and see that there's other people around.
He motions for you to follow him, and you walk down the corridor past the desk. Then on the first door on the right, you walk through a room, and he turns to a secretary who's in this little room and says, please hold any calls. I'll be with these gentlemen for a few minutes. And motions you into into an office. Its office is a beautifully decorated room. There are several closets in the north wall of the office. There's a safe that is unlocked and open to one side. And he motions you to the seats in front of his desk as he sits down behind it. He says, so, your friend wouldn't have been a Jackson Elias, would it?
Got it in one.
The very same.
Indeed. Yeah, he came and spoke to me about the Carlisle expedition.
Oh, he did?
Yes. Yes. How is he?
Not great. He was murdered. And see what his reaction is to that statement.
Can we psychology that?
Yeah. My condolences. Make a psychology check.
That is a normal success.
That is not a success.
So, did either of you succeed? Sorry.
Yeah. Miles.
You see a slight twitch in his face, but that's all. And said, well, look, Jackson came and spoke to me about Carlisle, because Roger Carlisle supposedly obtained information, apparently from a mysterious African woman, concerning a shadowy time in Egypt's history, in which Sir Audrey had been long interested in. In this ancient time, a sorcerer was reputed to have ruled the Nile Valley. Alas, the information proved to be a hoax. In Egypt, the African woman disappeared with the expedition's money, ready funds, an amount of some £3,500. We are gentlemen of the world, are we not? Carlyle counted the lost money as insignificant, but he was deeply affected by the defection of his lover.
Okay, now, can I make a psychology when he's telling this story?
Mm-hmm.
To see if he's maybe just blowing smoke and that there was something there? Damn it. Nope, that's another fail.
No. Fearing the heat and the disappointment of Egypt, Hypatia Masters suggested that the party should spend the summer months in the relatively cool Kenyan uplands, affording Flora to use her new lens to photograph the African wildlife. Unfortunately, once the group entered the territory, they paid for it with their lives.
So wait, the expedition went to look at to photograph wildlife?
Well, they went to summer in Kenya and then were going to supposedly head back after the summer back to Egypt.
Oh, okay.
But unfortunately, died.
Okay, yeah. July 3rd to July 24th, Egypt to Nairobi for rest and a safari.
The vast share of the expedition records were lost there as well. So Aubrey had taken them with him to work on. So, wherever he is, that's where his notes are. And that was it. That's all we know.
And it seems like you've been running the Penny Foundation quite well in his stead. We hear that you have another expedition in Egypt currently.
Indeed, we do.
Well, if you don't mind us asking, what are they looking for? Very interesting, this archaeology stuff.
Looking into some more rumors, whether or not they're true, we don't know. I tend not to talk about these things for now, until they're ready to come out in the open.
So Penhu disappeared in Kenya?
He died with... it's believed he died with the rest of them.
Right, but no body was ever found.
Well, there were bits and pieces of bodies, but yeah.
Well, they found the other bodies, right?
Right, the party members, but not the main part.
I wasn't into that much information. All I knew was that they had died in it.
Yeah, because in the last one it says, to the end, the tribesmen steadfastly refused to reveal where they had hidden the bodies of the white leaders of the expedition.
Indeed.
So, Mr. Gavigan, I got a little confused there. The mission, who was this woman that came and started talking about secrets that led this and then stole the money?
Some African woman. I do not know her. Didn't know her. It was believed to be Roger Carlyle's lover.
So, Carlyle tells you, or Penhew sent a note saying, exciting new information, headed off to go see if it's true.
So Aubrey was here, that he came here before they headed to Egypt.
Oh.
They came here to pick up supplies and head to Egypt.
And Penhew went with them because he was excited about the possible dark Egypt past thing.
Yeah. Yes. The shadowy past.
And then at some point you got a note or something saying shadowy past is a hoax.
Yes.
Woman's run off.
Basically.
We're headed to Kenya to recover for the summer.
Yes.
Well, were you aware that Jackson had possibly been on the trail? That perhaps the main expedition members were still alive?
No, I was not. All I knew was that he came to ask me about the expedition. Didn't mention any belief that they were still alive.
Well, it seems he may have encountered someone in Hong Kong that stated they had seen Jack Brady from the party.
Indeed.
After they had been declared dead. Did Penhew or Carlyle have anything to do with Hong Kong when they were?
Not that I know.
How long have you been running this foundation?
Sir Aubrey Penhew was training me up to take over in the role.
So he was running it until he went off with this expedition.
Yeah. Yes.
So you've only been here a little bit in charge, but you've been working here for a while.
Been here for a long time, working with Sir Aubrey for a long time.
So you're an Egyptologist or just a...
No, I personally haven't been into that sort of thing. I'm more what you call a bureaucrat.
Understand that.
So that's all the information I can get. If you wish, I can try to look in my records and see if I got more information. Are you staying anyway?
Yes. Give him the name of the hotel.
Indeed. If I find anything, I can send you news.
Yeah, or maybe if you wouldn't mind doing us the courtesy, might we have a look at Mr. Penhew's study, as it was? Some of his notes around that time?
Around. This is his old room. It's my room now. Any notes or any letters that he had sent from the expedition? Unfortunately, I cannot show you. You don't work for the foundation. And there's much in there that may concern the young Carla, and we don't want to drag his reputation through the muck.
Oh, no, of course not. Of course not.
So, I'm sorry, what did, Jackson came to talk to you, was he just sort of asking the same kind of stuff we are?
Fairly much, yeah.
And
when did he come to see you? The reason I'm asking, Gary, is to try and find if the timeline matches up how close to seeing Penhue and then getting back to New York it was before he was
November,
killed.
December last year.
Oh, okay, so quite some time.
Well, that's the time that he was in London. He left London in December.
And I'll look at our archer. Okay.
So
shrug a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Gavigan, it's been nice to meet you. If you think of anything you might have told Mr. Elias, that'd be good to know. And another thing, seems you've got some thugs outside. You might want to look to your security a bit. They didn't look too friendly.
Indeed, well, I'll make sure the guards know about it. Thank you very much. Look, I have another appointment.
Of course. Oh, one more thing, Mr. Gavigan. Have you ever heard of a cult of the bloody tongue?
No, I haven't.
Can I psychology that?
Make it psychology.
Yes, I get it.
There's a slight flick of recognition in his eyes, but yeah, he says, no, I haven't. Please. And he motions you to the doors. As he presses a buzzer and his secretary comes in, if I find anything, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and thank you.
Secretary leads you out. What do you do?
Well, Miles, I just don't trust him. It seems cagey.
Not sure I do either. I think we leave.
Yeah.
Yep.
And let's walk around and see what we see. Walk around the building a bit.
Yeah.
So who'd you see? You saw some, you said a couple Arabs and an Englishman?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Definitely some Arabs.
Okay.
See what they were,
was there anything? Was there anything on the side of the truck? A name or anything like that?
You didn't go down there to look.
Well, can we?
When you go there, the truck is gone.
Damn it!
Are the thugs gone too?
Make me spot hidden rolls.
All right. Nope.
Ooh, 19. That is a hard success.
Those ones are gone, but there seem to be some new ones hanging around.
Also
still Arab?
A couple of an Arab and a English
bloke.
Yes.
Hmm.
I'll be right back. I'll let you mull on it for a moment.
Okay. More. Huh. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I guess we should try to see if we can figure out what they're watching. If they're watching the foundation or the people coming and going or...
Yeah, exactly. Maybe...
Looking out or looking in, I guess.
Well, I wonder what the neighborhood or... the surrounding areas, like if there's places for us to like post up and watch.
Because Gavigan's certainly rich, so
yeah. But the building, obviously, yeah. I mean this isn't Gavigan's place. This is the Penhue place. So
right, Penhue must have been richer.
Yeah,
but this would have been his foundation, not his house.
Right. Well, but it could have been his house. Well, I guess we'll have to ask Gary what it looks like. Maybe he just ran it out of his
palatial mansion.
Yeah, I think it's just a stand a building, its own thing.
All right, well, I'm actually going to step away for just 1 minute. I'll be right back.
While he's gone, I'll burn the building down.
It sounded like Gary was saying those guys were kind of attached to the Pinyu Foundation to me when you guys rolled up.
That's why I sort of was intentionally trying to get a reaction out of Gavigan by putting it to him that way.
Right.
But then I failed my psychology role, so.
Okay, so are you hanging around long?
So one thing we're trying to figure out is whether we can tell if these thugs seem to be casing the joint or protecting it. You know, are they watching for, sort of watching in or watching out kind of a
thing?
They
seem to be watching out.
Okay, so they're looking to see who's coming to visit the place and so forth. Yeah. And then the other question, Max stepped away, but the other question he had was what sort of neighborhood we're in and whether we might have a chance of hiding out somewhere, and then whether this building is sort of a, whether this was likely to have been Penhu's estate or if it's just a building that houses the Penhu Foundation.
It's just a building that houses the foundation. You don't think it was ever his estate. It's a, more of a purpose built building. If you want to secret your way so you can watch, then you'll need a stealth check.
So but what is the, is this, what's the neighborhood? Is it residential? Is it commercial? Is it rich or?
It's in central London at Bloomsbury Address, north of Oxford Street and west of the British Museum, roughly between Regent and the Thames. It's definitely not residential. This is more business, and it's all upper class.
Okay. Is there a likely looking cafe nearby?
Yeah.
So we'll go and let's see, what are we in here? We're in February, so it's probably cold, or at least unpleasant.
It's cold, it's foggy, or drizzling. Or both.
we'll go and get ourselves some hot coffee and see if we can get a table near the window and just sort of watch the comings and goings a little bit from the of the foundation.
After a little bit, you see Mr. Gavigan head out.
He leaves by the front door?
Yes.
Do any of the thugs seem to follow him?
No.
Okay. Oh, I think we'll... Okay. I'll say that we'll follow him. That seems like something we would do.
Might be stealth checks.
That's likely to succeed. And I'll make something for Max here. Probably not, but I don't know what his sheet has.
Okay.
So, well, yeah.
That's all right. No, he seems to head and he walks into a bank.
Okay.
A very prestigious bank.
We'll keep on going.
You continue on. And where do you go after that?
It's cold and rainy. We'll go back to the hotel.
Okay. You head back to the hotel, and you all meet up at the hotel. So, Jamie, Tito, Betsy.
We're back at the hotel as well, I guess. Yeah, we wanted to go to the gallery, but that can wait.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that. Yeah, sorry.
That can wait. We can go back to the hotel and make plans there with the rest.
Yeah, you've been threatening Betsy with the library. I don't. Sure, she would have kicked and complained. Let's go back to the hotel and rest. Maybe the other boys will want to go.
Sorry.
Oh, ready.
Oh, at the hotel.
And let's compare notes.
Yep. So an hour later, we have compared our notes.
Yeah. And has Jamie told them all about the visitor for the evening?
Inspector's coming, yep. Did he say what time he's coming there, Jamie?
Yeah, he said at 6.
Oh. All right. So what time is it now?
It'd be about 5 o'clock, I'll say.
Okay. And I guess, so by the time we're done,
there's a phone call and say, Mr. Inspector Barrington here to see you.
We'll come on down and meet with him. Get a table in the bar.
Sit down and says, so, your friend here, he nods to Jamie, was telling me you're interested in what Mr. Elias was looking into.
Yes, he's seemed to have stuck his nose in a hornet's nest.
To Indeed. Say the least.
Well,
and at least some of the stirring seems like it happened here in London.
Okay. Well, when he came to speak to me, he was talking to me about the murders.
The murders here in London.
Yes.
Yeah, the last body was found on the 24th, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
We had a string of murders in New York, too. I don't know if you were following the news.
Not from New York, sorry.
It's pretty big. Seems similar. Except instead of being beaten and stabbed in the heart, they were... I don't remember. Flayed something? No. Their tongues were cut out. I don't remember. What was it?
I was about to say they were mauled by a bear and their eyes cut out, but that's the wrong game.
Exactly. They're attacked with spoons. I can't remember. That's too bad.
They were cut. The chest opened and opened up.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know if that seems anything similar, but there was definitely a cult operating in New York, and they got to Elias. We ran into them just after they killed him.
Well, he looks through his notes. He opens up his little book and he goes, well, mostly, the people who have been killed have been foreigners. Many of those who were murdered have frequented a club called the Blue Pyramid Club in Soho. And before dying, one of the victims reportedly cried out, Hotep. An ancient word, Hotep, H-O-T-E-P, an ancient word, Egyptian word, meaning rest or peace, according to Mr. Gavigan. We spoke to a spice dealer, Tufik Al-Sayed, He once guided one of the expeditions for the Penhu Foundation. This was more in discussing about the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh, which is what Jackson Elias believed was behind this. He denied that this Brotherhood still existed.
I'm not sure he's all above board.
Unfortunately, that's as far as our...
Well, he was an expert on deadbolts.
Elias was. That.
When you say these, most of these victims are foreigners, what do you mean? Like American? Like this Mr. Al-Fayed, Egyptian people? What do you mean foreigners?
Arabic Egyptian people.
Any African people?
No. As I said, then most of the people, many of those who were murdered, went to a night spot called the Blue Pyramid Club in Soho.
And is this club something that's only Arabs go to?
Mostly. Other people go there for the experience.
And these foreigners who were murdered, visitors or people who lived here?
Some who lived here, some who were visitors.
Interesting. And was Elias, when he spoke to you, he was mostly just interested in this cult, this brotherhood, or these murders?
Yes. Yeah. When I talked to him, we were mostly discussing the murders, yes.
Did he think the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh was extinct?
No, he believed they were active.
And then he goes and gets himself killed by another cult, huh? Interesting.
Indeed, but talking about a cult in America and a cult in London, if it exists.
Well, if they're from Egypt, it seems like they could just as easily get to America as here.
That is true.
What do you think about Gavigan?
He's quite a respected gentleman in the community.
Sure. But you personally think he's on the up and up?
By what I can see, he seems to be.
And what did you want to come speak to us about?
Well, what you guys knew. It's interesting that another settled American has come to ask questions about. Yeah. This thing, I mean, Jackson Elias was an interesting gentleman.
That's for sure.
I mean, Gavigan implied that Elias was the sensation-seeking profiteer.
Gavigan implied that Elias was a profiteer?
Yes. Sensation-seeking profiteer.
Huh. Well, that's,
And your friend here made it sound as if you would be poking around.
Yeah. And
I just want to make sure that if you do, make sure you don't get on the wrong side of the yard. And any leads you come across, I hopefully will find their way into our hands.
You absolutely. You can certainly give a call over to your counterpart there, Lieutenant Poole, and I'll give him some contact information.
Yep.
If you want to check up on us with one of your brethren, I've worked with him quite a bit.
Will do. Thank you very much. Well, that's about as much as I have for now. As I said, if you find more information out, please. You have my number. You know my office. He nods and leaves.
Okay.
Holy cow. The Pyramid Club.
Doesn't help us now since it's back in New York.
No, no, it's here in Soho. It's London Soho, not New York Soho.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, London Soho, yes.
Well, perfect.
That was a nice threatened by a cop. Stay on the right side of the yard.
Okay. So this is the first time you've been threatened by a cop?
No, the nicest. The nicest.
Oh, the nicest. Nicest. Yeah. Yes, yes. They are polite here.
So, what are you doing? I mean, you have received quite a lot of information.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. What do y'all want to do? 6:30? It's early. Have to have dinner. Go to a club for dinner.
Yeah. Why not?
So that kind of club?
The Blue Pyramid Club?
Yeah.
we'll ask the concierge here what we can learn about the Blue Pyramid Club.
I'll tell you, it is an Egyptian club. It features belly dancer, Egyptian food, and Egyptian singers. Mostly popular with Egyptian people.
Okay.
Oh, we'll fit right in.
Totally.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing some of them belly dances.
Sure, they wouldn't mind seeing you.
Well, I think we might leave it there just before you guys go to the Blue Pyramid.
All right.
Nice.
Cool. Do you want to make a note that's where you're heading to? Yep.
Probably have time to go by a gallery on the way if they're...
A gallery would be closed at this time of night.
All right.
So
you want guys, to sorry.
And to look in to Shipley's art whereabouts.
Yeah, I mean, give you guys a week to process all this information because you guys have received a lot of information.
Yeah.
Process or forget. Those are the two options.
Yeah.
With mass, it's always good to keep on processing things because there's just so much in it.
Alright. Sweet deal.
Awesome.
I hope you guys have had fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Gary.
You too, I hope.
Oh, most definitely. I'm really enjoying this.
He said sadistically.
Well, I shall talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Good time.
Take care.
Take care.
Later.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See you, buddy.